You know, Pastor Nick said in his prayer a while ago that, you know, God, you were not surprised by these changes this morning. Well, some of us were surprised this morning. But it was one of these things that the first hint came through at about 11:30 last night, the first text from Pastor Mike. And it was kind of one of those things that I know, and I know the other guys, they were thinking that same thing. It was like, oh no, kind of moments and stuff. And then at about 5 o'clock this morning, I heard my phone go off, and I look at it. It was one of those, dear Lord, we need help. And so then it was kind of like, and some of you, if you want to know how, you may think, oh, wow, those guys, how do they have this figured out of what to do? We don't. And so it was kind of one of those things between me and Pastor Dan texting back and forth of, what do we do with this kind of moment kind of thing and get ready? In fact, you know, I want to challenge you. Be back for next Sunday because I was really looking forward to this Sunday's message, what would take place next Sunday. And it's actually going to be really good as we continue on in the series of Theology of the Hearer. So I want to challenge you to make sure that you're back. Well, this morning, we're going to change pace and take a little bit different directions for unforeseen circumstances. But it's something that's really close to my heart and something that's really dear to my heart because what we're going to be talking about and addressing this morning hit home at about 5 a.m. with that text message saying that Pastor Mike was down. And that is dealing with the stresses that we have within life. And specifically, I want us to target not to have a topical message on dealing with stresses, but I want us to look at what does Jesus say about it, and also how does the gospel work this out within our life of whenever we face different circumstances within life. Because, you know, there's a lot of things that we are faced as we go through life. Some of us are at a stage of dear Lord, am I going to have enough money to make it through this month? Am I going to be able to pay bills this month with my salary? And dear Lord, I really need you to provide for us this month. Others of us are maybe at a stage in life that we're stressing about the fact of whether or not have I saved enough for retirement. Others are stressing of those medical tests did not come back of how we were expecting or how we were desiring them to come back. And then others, and this is what you see. I know I see a lot of through social media posts of a lot of it is the stress of raising children. And can we get through just another day of raising children? And we all have these different stresses that we face within life. And some of us have a healthy manner that we're able to deal with them. Some of you have learned that really you're able to trust God with those during those times, and you're able to really walk through those high stresses of life. Some of you, you watch your diet, and you have a very you exercise to help relieve some of that stress. There's others though that really turn to a really an unhealthy way of dealing with stress and dealing with pressures, which is someone deals with it. Some people take an unhealthy approach of turning to drinking or turning to smoking or turning to drinking too much caffeine. Others may actually hibernate and try to avoid people during that time. And others actually, you turn to eating. You eat too much during those times. Now, I'll confess to you, mine is eating. And I have there's one food that I have a habit of turning to whenever I get stressed out. And some of you may understand this. My wife is sitting back there, probably already knows what it is. I love pastries. And there is something about an apple fritter that is just a bad habit for me. And one of the things, one of the journeys that we had as a family was being able to go to Europe. And in Paris alone was my whole highlight to Paris was eating croissants. I would go to the pastry store and just sit there and order multiple croissants and eat them, all different kinds of varieties. In fact, and this is something I want to challenge you as a church, be in prayer. It's in your bulletin as well. As Pastor Nick talked about the other mission teams, we have a mission team that's getting ready to go to South Asia. More details are in the bulletin about that. But be in prayer for this team as we leave in 3 weeks and ministering, working alongside of our missionaries out of Mercy Hill here. But I may or may not have planned a specific layover in Brussels, Belgium, just to get pastries. You know, I may or may not have. I'm not going to admit to that. I like to claim that it was because it was a cheaper airfare. So, but be in prayer for this team as we go and we work alongside of our missionaries. But different people have had different ways to cope. Some of them unhealthy, some of them healthy. But some of us, though, really have it down and do a great job of managing stress. But what does Scripture say about this? Whenever we look at this passage of Matthew 6, 25 through 34, there's several things that Jesus tells us and gives us in regards to anxiety and stress. And the first thing that he commands us is really a simple command. Whenever he says in verse 25, he says, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on." And then he continues on. But the first command that Jesus gives us is, don't be anxious, don't worry. And this is a term that's going to be used kind of interchangeably with each other of anxiousness and worry, because it has the same nature of just having this thoughts and these negative thoughts, just continually thinking over and over and over to where it starts to overwhelm you and overwhelm your thought process of these, of whatever may be going on in your life. But Jesus' command is that to don't do it. Really a simple approach. To stop being anxious and to stop worrying. He starts this section wanting us to understand the nature of anxiousness and anxiety, because he had just finished up in the Sermon on the Mount. He was teaching through the Sermon on the Mount, and he had just finished this section on laying up your treasures in heaven. And so now he bridges over to don't be anxious about the various things. And so why should we not be anxious? What good is anxiousness and worry within our life? Well, but one of the first reasons why that Jesus' command for us to not be anxious is because anxiousness and worry, those things and those thoughts that our mind is focused on, that becomes our God. That becomes our focus, and it becomes our thought process where it consumes everything around us. Because whenever you wake up in the morning, you are thinking about those worries. Whenever you are going through the day, those worries are on your mind. Whenever you go to bed at night, you have trouble at sleeping because those worries are on your mind. What happens is, within the throne of our life, those very things become the God of our life. We take God off the throne of our life and Jesus Christ off the throne of our life, and we put those things on the throne of our life. Another reason is the fact that it shows that we have a lack of trust in God. Whenever we are anxious and whenever we are worrying, we have come to this understanding and this thought process that we can somehow change the situation by thinking on it. And we can somehow change the situation by dwelling on it. But what happens is our thoughts, and it doesn't change anything. But whenever we give it over to God, it allows God to still work, and our trust is still in God. But whenever we don't do that, we have essentially said that, God, I don't trust you to work in whatever circumstance, in whatever situation that it is. God, I don't trust you to work in my child's life. God, I do not trust you to work in my finances. And we have taken the trust that we should have in God, and we have turned it and started trusting in ourselves. And then a third part of this is that we take these worries, and these worries become our ultimate goal. Because what we do is we take these worries, and our whole focus and our whole life is to take care of these worries, to satisfy these worries, to satisfy these concerns within our mind. And they end up... we're no longer focused on serving God and bringing glory to God and living out the gospel in our relationships, but now our focus and our worries are taking care of the issues at hand, and that is our primary focus and our primary being. Listen to what some other verses say about not being anxious. Philippians 4, 6, and 7 says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God." And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Do you hear what Paul is saying there? Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication and with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. We take our request and we make them known to God. 1 Peter 5:7 says, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Let me ask y'all, who cares for us? God, right? So who do we cast our cares to? God. That's a whole lot easier to say than to actually do, though, isn't it? It's a whole lot easier for us to talk to it than us to actually to cast our cares and our anxiety over to him. One of the things about me is, which is not a healthy thing, and let me give you a little bit of dynamics and stuff. My wife is the most, to me, she is the most stable and stress-free person that there is. And I know she's sitting there saying, Chris, you're crazy about this. But to me, she is just such an even-keel person, just able to keep just a stable thing. Me, on the other hand, dear Lord, I hope that my kids don't take this trait after me like I've taken it down from my parents and stuff. There are times I am a very high-stress individual at times. And sometimes I take the thing that I thrive off of stress whenever, in fact, I know some of you, whenever you would do schoolwork, you would like get ahead like 3-4 weeks in advance, a month in advance. Me, bring that paper on the night before and I'll get it knocked out. And it's a bad habit of mine of just loving stress and just being kind of a high stress individual. Well, the way that played out in my life is the fact that I think it was probably, it was about a year and a half ago. Do you remember how many of you see on your, if you have Facebook, your Facebook page, these memories pop up in your feed? Some of these memories, you're like, man, I really enjoyed these memories. They bring just really joy to your heart, right? How about any of you, you see memories that pop up onto your feed, and it brings back just really one of those moments that you really just, you don't want to remember and you don't want to think about and stuff. Well, this happened to me this past week. I was sitting there and just a memory kind of popped up. And what it was a reminder to me of what worry and anxiety can do to you. And it started about a year and a half or so ago that ended up costing me an overnight stay in the hospital. I was sitting there and it was showing, I thought it was like heart attack symptoms. And it was a lot of those things that would just really seemed in line with a heart attack. But I get to the hospital and they tell me there's nothing wrong with you. And I'm sitting there, and I'm like, what in the world is going on? Why is my blood pressure going skyrocketing? Why is everything just kind of crazy? It come down to the fact that it was an anxiety attack, and it was a panic attack. And it cost the fact of me going to the hospital and spending overnight. And maybe some of you have actually had to deal with this in the past, because there's some, and let me be clear on this, there's some anxiety, it's what's called a panic disorder, that actually needs medical treatment on this. And this is not what I'm referring to. What I'm referring to is the anxiety and the worries and the cares that we can deal with and we can take care of ourselves. But what happened in my life was the fact that get so worked up and so concerned and just dwelling that it sent all these things, emotions into play, which ended up costing a night in the hospital stay. And so this is why that anxiety and worrying is such a danger for us as believers, because not only does it mess with our physical life, but not only does it mess with our emotional and our spiritual life, but it also messes with our physical life as well. There's physical effects that this has on within our life. But here's what, whenever we take this command of not worrying, this is what it is not. If we are worrying about our finances, if we are worrying about our being able to just provide for our family, whenever we sit there and say, hey, I'm not going to take Jesus at face value and not worry about this, what not worrying is not, let me make sure I say that right, it is not quitting your job, going sitting down on your couch, playing video games and eating bags of Cheetos saying that God's going to provide for me. This is not what Jesus' command is. But another part of this is that whenever we look at worrying and we look at anxiety, Jesus gives us several reasons why we should not worry. And look right here in this passage, in verse 27. We're going to kind of take it a little bit backwards. Jesus says in verse 27, "And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life?" Whenever we are anxious, what good is it? Worry and anxiousness within our life is unproductive. It does no good in your life. Whenever you look at this passage, it doesn't add a single hour to our life. It doesn't change the situation at hand within our life. Whenever you wake up in the morning and you sit there and say, "Hey, let me go ahead and get my stresses laid out for the day, and let me go ahead and plan out, I'm going to start worrying from first thing in the morning until I go to bed at nighttime," but it has no positive effects within your life. Instead, do you know what we should do in the morning instead of getting up and actually start worrying about the day at hand? Spend time with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Spend time with Jesus. Spend time studying the Word. Spend time in prayer. Then spend time with your families and loving your families before rushing out and worrying about everything at hand. The only thing that I can think of that worry can be productive in your life is these right here. Gray hairs. I've got my fair share. That is the only thing that I can think of. Another part of this of why we should not worry is in verse 26. And it says, "Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more value than they?" Worthy in the life of a believer is unnecessary. It is unnecessary because of whose child that we are. Whose child are we? God's. Who paid the price on the cross so that we could be the child of God? Jesus. And then, you know what else? What if we have been adopted with all rights of privileges as a child of God? So why should we worry if our Father is the God of the universe? If our Father created all of this? Why should we worry? Worrying and anxiety is completely unnecessary in the life of the believer because of whose child that we are, with all the rights and privileges that go along with it. But not only that, not only just it being unnecessary, but look at the illustration that he uses. He uses the illustration of the lilies of the field, and the lilies of the field in all of their grandeur, Solomon couldn't even compare to the lilies of the field, but yet they don't worry about any of it. The lilies, they just have. Worrying is unnecessary within the life of a believer. But a third thing comes in verse 25, whenever he says that, "Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing?" Worrying is unworthy for a believer. And the reason why is because look at who we are in Christ. We don't need a lot of the things that we are ultimately worrying about. The life of a believer, whenever he says, "Isn't life more than food and the body more than clothing?" What is the goal of the life of a believer? Is to bring glory to God and to make him known everywhere. Do you hear that? The goal of a believer, the life of a believer, is to bring glory to God and then to make him known everywhere. Do you remember what, and here's a test for you. What is the mission statement of Mercy Hill? We exist to glorify God by making disciples of all nations. Do you catch that part right there? Mercy Hill Church. Who's Mercy Hill Church? We are, right? Is Mercy Hill Church the building? No. We are Mercy Hill Church. And Mercy Hill Church exists to bring glory to God, first and foremost, by making disciples of all nations. And you know what's incredible about this? Is that our number one job and our number one is whenever we're bringing glory to God with the way that we live our life and living out the gospel in our everyday relationship, then what happens is the fact that that is just kind of overflow of the heart. That's the reason why we don't need worry and anxiety, and the reason why it's unworthy is because first and foremost, our life is not summed up by our stresses of our life. Our life is summed up by who we are in Christ and what our purpose in life that is, and that is to bring glory to God. And then whenever we are doing that, what happens is whenever we look at of living out the gospel to others and making disciples of all nations, you know what's so cool about this right here? We're sitting right here in Yulee, Florida, but do you realize that by bringing glory to God, we have an impact in South Asia. We have an impact in Honduras. We have an impact in Haiti. We have an impact all across the globe just by the church being the church. And we have an impact also within the life of the believers, each other, whenever we spend time in relationship with each other as well. And so that is the reason why, the third reason that Jesus gives us why worthy, why worry is unworthy. It's because it just defeats of who we are in Christ. But life is also about pouring into not only just making sure that we're not looking out there, but making sure that we're looking at it from the aspect that we're pouring into our wives and our husbands, and we're pouring into our kids and living out the gospel in front of them as well. And so what do we do with this? Jesus started this passage. Whenever you first look at this passage, Jesus starts to command off whenever he says, "Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life." But then he closes this passage out in verse number 33, and he closes it out with a second command in here about what we should do and how we are able to defeat worry and anxiety within our life. And he says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." The way that a believer defeats this within their life is whenever we seek after Jesus. Whenever we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So what does that mean for the life of a believer? What that means is that we are actually seeking to understand how the gospel has worked in our life. Because here's what, whenever we look at worry, the gospel has defeated that within our life. Whenever we were, the debt was paid for our sins and we are now redeemed through the gospel, that has been defeated. But another part of this, seeking first the kingdom, do you remember just a small saying, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all their soul, and with all their strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. Do y'all remember that? It's just repeated quite a few times throughout Scripture. Whenever we look at this phrase right here, this is what it means for our priorities to line up with heaven, and what it means whenever we seek first the kingdom of God. What happens is, we seek first the kingdom of God. Everything that Jesus has ever taught lines up. We want to obey that. Our life lines up with Jesus, with the gospel, with his teaching, because our love is first and foremost on God. We love God with everything that we have. We trust God with everything that we have. But then we love our neighbors as ourself as well. Listen at what Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight." Romans 8, 38 and 39 says, "For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. This sums up who we are as believers. This is the reason why that we don't have to worry and we don't have to stress. But did you know that there's another part of this? That whenever he says at the end of verse 33, it says, and all these things will be added to you. What do we need to live? Do you need food to live? I like food. Do we need... There's really not much other than food and clothing do we actually need to live. And these are two things that Jesus addresses within this passage right here, is the fact of food and clothing. Do you see what Jesus' command is here, or his promise? That all these things will be added to you, but you first must seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Time and time again, whenever believers have been in community with each other, specifically through small groups, specifically through serving one another, I have seen more believers come to the aid of other believers because of the fact that they are seeking to love the Lord thy God with all their heart, soul, and mind, and to love others. And there are times within the body that the body comes alongside one another and they help each other to get out of the pit that they're in. I've seen them help others with material things, and specifically the Holy Spirit move in specific ways and provide for families. And then I've seen other times that believers come alongside because they are worrying and that stress. They just need another believer to help them out of that pit. And this is what the church looks like in play, to be able to bear one another's burdens and to help each other to deal with and to move away from anxiety and the work and worries within their life. But as believers, first and foremost, I believe that we have to look at our own life and make sure that we are not allowing thoughts and worries and anxiety to take captive and to take root within our life. I think a second part of this passage is that we've got to learn to trust God in the things that matter, in the necessities of life. What he does say is food and clothing. This is what the passage says in there. Trust God that maybe things are not lining up the way that we expected, but trust God because God is still on the throne, and not to allow those other things to take the throne within our life. And then I think a third part of this is that we must look to others and we must be the church. Look at ways that we can actually love others within the church and to care for others and really to walk alongside of others as well. Don't allow the church to just be about yourself. Let it be you about others and living the gospels out as well. But some of you may be sitting here this morning and you're sitting there saying, Chris, I have to have worries in my life because the gospel has never changed my life. And so now the time for you this morning is giving you a chance where you don't have to have worries anymore, and because you realize and you understand that you are a sinner separated by God, and Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins and paid the penalty on the cross for your sins, and you're able to have that relationship with God by repenting of your sins and turning from them and placing your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Well, this morning, the altar is going to be open. Maybe you just want to come down and you just want to pray. Or maybe that you're sitting there saying, it's time to repent and to believe. But let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for this morning, and we thank you for your word, and just know that it will not return void. And Father, I pray that as a church that we would just continue to seek after you, to love you with all of our being and to trust you, and that your people, we would not be bogged down by worries and concerns, but that we would have full trust in you and in your glory and in your Son. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand. All right. Well, remember, next week is going to be really good, okay? So I'm excited about next week. So, you know, this is something that the reason why, and let me, I'll go ahead and share this. A lot of times when I get hit with this kind of last minute kind of thing and stuff, people will say, well, you guys, y'all should have something in backup. I can't do backup for me. It's kind of really just how the word is speaking to me and walking through the word. But one of the things that whenever I started thinking through and praying through, what in the world, because I'm sitting there, I can't think what, but what in the world, where do I need to see God work at this morning? And it's looking at these things that, okay, this is something that is close and dear to my heart, and especially just trusting God. And so this is how a lot of it just kind of plays out and works out. But you know what's cool is the fact that whenever you get up and you start hearing the word of God, we all see how the Holy Spirit works it out within our life because we've all got different issues and different trust issues. So this morning, as we close out, a couple of things to remind you. Make sure that you read the bulletin, know what's going on. And also, several new small groups have just kicked off a Tuesday night group. My mind is shot. I have forgotten. I am sorry. But it's on a sheet out there by the Welcome Center. So, but you can find out there. But but check out, but then the men's group here on campus on Thursday mornings. I did remember that one. But find a place to connect and to be with other believers. And before we leave today, what are we going to do? See, you guys are awesome. This is why Mercy Hill is the best, friendliest church. So make sure, I want to challenge you. Turn around, find someone you don't know, and introduce yourself. Don't worry, they don't know you either. So it's okay. But let's close in prayer. Father, we love you, and we thank you for your word, and we thank you for how good of a God that you are and how gracious of a God that you are and how you love us. And Father, I pray this morning that as we go out that you will just help Pastor Mike to feel better and to get past this bug. And Father, I pray that you will just allow us as a church to live out the gospel and to make it known in this community. In Jesus' name, amen.